Back together again, you and I chatting it up on a Thursday, July the 16th, 2026, right here on Connecticut Today. Featured me asking folks in Fairfield County to try and calm down a bit and adopt a more measured, reasonable approach on the future of some controversial surveillance technology. Former State Senate Republican leader John McKinney, too, dropping by with his weekly report on all things politics as well.
All right. Listen. I understand some people are not happy about these speed cameras. I get it. Now, we're not talking in this segment about the automated license plate readers. That's another discussion. It seems to alternate almost every day, doesn't it? But apparently, Fairfielders, you folks in Fairfield, you're not happy. Come on. I mean, listen, if you don't like the idea of these speed cameras that have been in about a dozen towns so far, they're in Milford, they're in Fairfield, they're probably coming to Bridgeport. If you don't like them, fine, but please, don't act like everything is so much of a surprise here. Andreas Yilma's story today in the Connecticut Post. Fairfield residents blast controversial speed cameras at a packed meeting. This wasn't ready. What wasn't ready about it? See, I find this fascinating. Where people say, well, it wasn't ready, the technology's right, we didn't know about it. Well, wait a minute, hold it, Clyde. If you didn't know about it, no, honestly, seriously. Now, we're not talking about the license plate readers. That's different. The cops, the local police, the state police, security companies, they go, shh, they are not bound to tell you where the license plate readers are. Because that's considered a crime-fighting apparatus. Nothing in state law says they have to diverge that. But I'm still trying to wrap my arms around people who say, well, when did this happen? We didn't know about this. How are you not prepared about this in 2026 when there are literally probably dozens or a couple of hundred news stories pushed to your digital device, your computer, your phone, your laptop, your notebook, your tablet, every minute of every day? And how are people so surprised at this? I don't understand it. And the other thing I don't get is the anger at this, and I know I've been saying this over and over and over, but I still haven't got an answer that makes me happy that people are actually paying attention. Hello? Is anybody listening? Are you paying attention? They didn't put up these speed cameras and stop sign cameras and stoplight cameras. They didn't put those up overnight. And if you go out there, if anybody in Fairfield the other day or any other city or town goes out there and says, well, we didn't know about this or when did this happen? You know what that means? You're not paying attention. You've got your heads parked either somewhere up or somewhere down in the sand. This is a major freaking story that went on for the better part of a year and a half. And now people are waking up. My God, pay attention, people. Pay attention. So they had a big meeting the other night at Ward High, more than 100 residents gathering Tuesday. Among the worries of the device's vocal opponents was that the cameras were akin to surveillance. Here we go again. Here we go. The big state. Do you know how many cameras you pass? Not these cameras, but do you notice the cameras that are at a lot of intersections right now, way up high where the lights are, or maybe strung out where the traffic lights are? Yes, those cameras are watching you. Those are traffic control cameras. They work, some of them, by artificial intelligence. My God, between this, between the data centers, between the license plate readers, everybody is acting like it's the end of the world. It's not. If you're a law-abiding person and you're not breaking the law, guess what? for the sake of law enforcement and these cameras, your lives are just boring enough where the cops aren't going to care. If you're not trafficking kids, if you're not jacking convenience stores, if you're not stealing cars, if you're not taking what doesn't belong to you, carjacking, guess what? You've got nothing to worry about. Whoever this gentleman is, Fairfield resident Chris Martin said at the meeting to the applause of some other audience members, we all want to live in safe communities with safe streets. All right. But is surveillance technology and AI needed to achieve this? Mr. Martin, with all due respect, I would ponder yes. Yes, you can't. And I'm already getting answers here on the Facebook page question. Well, hire more cops. It doesn't work that way. Because every time you want to hire more cops or more firefighters or EMTs, a lot of you folks paying property taxes, you bitch and moan. Well, my taxes are going up. Well, guess what? This is a way to stretch the police force. Now, you have to make sure that this information, these images, are not abused. And there have been cases around the country. And thankfully, those cops are getting fired and or arrested. And we have laws here in Connecticut as to where the information from either the license plate readers or the speed cameras can be shared with specific people. And our guest from last week, Greg Howard, state legislator, active duty police officer, said those laws are constantly being tweaked. The forum focused on safety initiatives, including the newly implemented speed cameras at 6 school zones that operate during the summer months and 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All right. So train yourself. Make some effort. Instead of just bitching and moaning about this incessantly, figure out another way to go. See, here's the problem. Nobody wants to slow down. That's the problem.
I don't want to slow down. I want to blow through the schools.
Well, guess what, Clyde? Guess what, Susie? Those days are over. Slow the F down. Well, you know, it's only for a couple of hundred feet. Well, yeah. The same thing you do when you see a cop beside the road. Hi, officer. How you doing? Two hands on the wheel. 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Is he gone? Good. Leadfoot, there it is. Unreal. Although some residents who attended were understanding of the speed cameras, the majority were critical of the speed cameras for several reasons, including how the cameras are running 24 hours a day all year and privacy concerns. You know, I wonder how many people that are concerned about their privacy know that the reason that they see advertisements on their cell phone is because they have their location services turned on. That means they're telling Google, they're telling Grok, they're telling Yahoo, they're telling Gmail where they are every second of the day. And I wonder how many of those people realize that when they go on shopping online, you know, oh, look at this, honey. Here's a toy for us. Ooh, let's order that. Yeah, well, unless you're in private mode, guess who knows? The entire world knows what you and the missus ordered, which is good. God bless you. Keep the fun going. I get it. But my God. Oh, my God. 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. I mean, my God. And the local police departments are saying that in the first couple of months of this, speeds have dropped way down. People are training themselves. And number two, a lot of the people getting caught are from out of town. Well, you know, my cousin or my sister came in and she got, well, you know what, honey? You should tell your cousin or your sister or your kids, don't go X, Y, and Z because there are speed cameras there. Or they may want to read the signs that are put up there, the big signs that say photo enforcement there. Oh, my God. You people in Fairfield, I love you, but suck it up. Come on. And again, man, am I going to get in trouble for this one. But again, trust me, and this is a good thing. Your lives are not that interesting that the cops are going to say, oh, look at that. She ordered chicken and broccoli tonight. My God. Just do me a favor, all you folks. Just relax. See, look, I could understand everybody bitching and moaning in Fairfield and all these other cities and towns. If these cameras were hidden, they're not hidden. And again, I'm reading on all these discussion boards last night, well, you know, when did this happen? They didn't tell me. No, 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 no. They told the entire state of Connecticut, the DOT, the DMV, the State House, the State Senate, they structured the bill to need three separate approvals, two locally, one on the state level, before these things could be even ordered. There's a three-year cutoff now, too, for the original cities and towns doing this. So you may disagree with it, and I'm fine if you think your city or town doesn't need it, but don't try to hide the fact that you're just not paying attention. You are. You're not paying attention. If you had no idea this was happening, you're not listening to us on the radio, you're not watching any of the local TV stations, Channel 8, News 12, whatever, in this area, you're just not paying attention. If you don't like them, that's fine. That we can get into. But to say, well, you know, we were kind of blindsided on this. No, you weren't. No. Your city or town, town council, board of alders, RTM, you needed an initial vote of yes on it. Then there was a subcommittee that, again, you needed a yes vote from. Then the police officials in the city and town and or the mayor, the chief executive, had to sign off on it and submit a plan to the DOT. And then they had to sign off on it. So I'm begging you, just admit you weren't paying attention. That's all. And we can all be friends. Matt in Fairfield kicks us off today. Hello, Matt. How are you?
Hello, Paul.
Hey, how you doing?
Happy Thursday. Well, doing well.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I just got two thoughts about it.
Yeah.
One of them is I've been riding a family member from around the police department on Reef Road in Fairfield across the Boston Post Road to the train station for years.
Yeah.
And if there was some true virtue in wanting to control speed in town, it's not being applied on the Boston Post Road. Because during rush hour, it's a race between one stop sign and the next heading south through the middle of town. And it's almost dangerous to cross the road.
I do know, Matt, I do know there are a couple of cameras, though, I believe. And I'll get the list for you on the break here, Matt, and I'll let you finish. But I think there are two cameras on the Boston Post Road. I forgot what they are, but I'll let you know.
Might be. For years, it's been a raceway.
Yeah.
The other point was, I think, and this is more about the cameras around the schools.
Yeah.
I listened to likes of Tony Wong and the police commissioner telling us how we have some type of a crisis. And yet, these days, when things are done, typically they're attached to metrics. And I heard nobody telling us we've done studies in the previous years that have resulted in numbers now that tell us we really do have a developing crisis on these roads. They just tell us, all of a sudden, we've got a crisis.
All right. They have, and Matt, thank you for the call. I promise I'll pull that number. I'll pull the locations up for you in a second here. Yeah, there are numbers. And the police in Milford are saying the drop-off in speeding from month number one to month number two has been incredible. So people are, in fact, getting the idea. They're getting it. And I know other people say, well, you know, we should have police officers. Stop that. You don't have enough cops to do that. You don't. And how many times have we got, and Lord knows I've been pulled over a number of times over the years. I've been driving almost 50 years now. So believe me, I like to drive. I enjoy driving a little fast. But how many times have we been pulled over and we're getting a ticket or a warning and right past it? So you're saying to yourself, well, I just kind of got picked out. It's the one reason I like cameras. They don't discriminate. All right, Paul and Orange, hang on. Back with more right here on WICC. And we welcome our pal, John McKinney, former Republican state Senate leader. You, of course, see John and Tom Dunchik and Joy Arasimowitz and Liz Karandowitz and a whole bunch of people on the Capitol Report, WTNH News 8, every Sunday morning at 10:30 to give us the skinny is what's going on. John, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well, Paul. How are you?
Not too bad. From your perch, Mr. McKinney, what do you see that has happened over the last week or so in the governor's race? Good to see, because I love the more people running, the better. Good to see that Mr. Elliott got his almost $4 million, huh?
He did, and he's out with his first campaign ad. He's made an incredibly large purchase on network television. I think it's over $400,000. That will get his name recognition much higher than it currently is.
Yeah.
And it's a larger buy than what the governor has. It's going to be interesting to see how much he is putting his money into a get out the vote effort. The governor Lamont announced he's opened 9 regional offices across the state, which are going to help him to get out the vote.
Yeah.
So different strategies there. The unknown candidate's doing a lot on TV, and the known candidate seems to be doing a lot of the groundwork, which quite frankly is what you need to be doing in a primary.
Yeah, guys like you and guys and gals like you who've been in this, John, you always tell me 2 words, name recognition. But, you know, John, just the coverage of Josh Elliott in situations like this, there is a lot of free coverage, is there not, by all the TV stations in the state, talk radio, the print outlets? I mean, part of that is just gobbled up by the natural news cycle, isn't it?
He is getting a lot of free coverage, and that's what you dream of as a candidate for office. Obviously, we're seeing in the politics of today, especially within the Democratic Party, a lot of challengers are taking on incumbents. And we're, you know, so there's a lot of attention being paid, not just in Connecticut, but across the country.
The big issue, John, over the past week, and I think everybody like you and I and some other folks who talk about this stuff, who thought utilities would be a big issue, we see that again. It is Eversource coming up with a rate increase request, 7% from back cleanup issues, another 11% on that, so 28%. Boy, this is red meat, is it not, John McKinney, for both sides in this campaign?
It is, and you see Josh Elliott, the sort of far-left Democrat socialist candidate, attacking Governor Lamont. You see Ryan Fazio, the Republican candidate, attacking Governor Lamont. The reality is all 3 of them have been in office, and no one can raise their hand and say, I've solved the problem. When I first ran for the state Senate in 1998, they had just voted on deregulation, which I had publicly come out against, and some others. This has been an issue we've been fighting for a long time because we're at the end of the pipeline. Ryan Fazio wants to get rid of the public benefits charge from your bill, and that would reduce your bill 20%, but those public benefit charges are then going to go in the state budget. Mm-hmm. So are you paying it out of your left pocket or your right? What I really want to see and what people should really be asking for is, what is your plan to bring more energy into Connecticut?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You need to increase the supply in order to meet the demand. This has seemed to reach a peak in terms of the politics, Paul, but we've been struggling with this forever. Governor Rowland, Governor Rell, Governor Malloy have all struggled with it, and no one has come up with the answer because we're not bringing in enough supply.
Yeah, and even when the realities are, John, that has to be done, as you say, it goes back 20, 30, 35 years in this state, the political reality set in, and you may remember, I guess, the governor was at a forum a bunch of months ago, and what on the surface looked to be a friendly forum, and he said, yeah, we have to bring in more power, and that may include natural gas, and he got booed. And so, John, when do we say the hell with the boos? We have to do something here. This is going to be untenable for our kids and grandkids.
Well, we do, and there's an ability to expand a pipeline and hook up to New York, but the governor of New York is saying she doesn't want to do that because she's facing her own political reality. And there are difficult choices. Look, I'll be very honest. Years ago, there was a proposal to put a huge liquid natural gas tanker in Long Island.
I remember that. Yeah.
Do a pipe. Now, I opposed that because I thought that the tanker in the Sound was – taking away a huge natural resource. I think a pipeline has been proven to be a more successful way to do it. But there is a group. I don't think it's a huge voting block, but there is a voting block that does not want anything other than solar or wind power in terms of supply. And guess what? They're more expensive. And I'm not going to say never, but it's not going to be a solution for the next 10 to 20 years. The other issue is getting more nuclear power. And Governor Lamont has talked about and been supportive of doing that. The problem is getting that permitted is probably a 10-year process.
10 years? I say 100 years on this show.
It could be, but these smaller nuclear plants, which the administration in Washington has been trying to promote, could be permitted, I think, quicker, but you're still talking 10 years.
Yeah, and John, boy, I'm glad you brought that up, because I remember, Nat, covering that, doing shows about that, and that tanker was going to be, what, like 8 or 10 miles out? And I guess the fear, if I remember it at that time, John, well, one of the fears was if the thing blew up, it would have the concussion of like a small nuke, because it was because of where it was going to be, and it would be full of LNG. But wow, you tickle my memory on that. I had forgotten about that. Wow.
Yeah, and I don't remember the size of it. It was multiple football fields, high and long. The real issue for me was if it was in the Sound, you had to have like a 1 mile circle around it that nobody could use, and you were taking all of that Long Island Sound away from boaters and fishermen and the like. But that hasn't been proposed since it was canceled then.
Yeah.
So maybe it wasn't the right idea at the time after all.
No. And John, finally, what do you see in the any buzz you hear from your sources regarding some of the legislative races, perhaps on both sides for the state House and state Senate?
Well, I think there are a couple of good races out there that we're going to see. I don't think we're going to see a ton of competitive races in Fairfield County, but I do think we'll see some around the state. And obviously, the other really big race is the first congressional district John Larson, who's been in Congress for a very long time, has three challengers, one of whom, Luke Bronin, the former mayor of Hartford, has outraised an incumbent Democratic congressperson, which is and got the nomination. That's a big surprise. And again, I think that's a trend we're seeing, especially among Democratic primary voters across the country. They want to bring in new people who are going to fight Donald Trump and get rid of the old people who they don't think are fighting hard enough.
John McKinney, catch him this Sunday and every Sunday, 10:30, WTNH News 8, the Capitol Report. Tom Dudchick and our friends alongside John and Liz Karandowitz and all the folks there. Hey, John, thanks as usual, and we'll chat with you next week, sir. Appreciate it.
Great. Thank you, Paul.
All right. Appreciate that. All right. Little news about somebody in the congressional delegation. We'll talk about that coming up right here on WICC.